What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another bonus episode of a weekly podcast. My name is Darren, aka Analysis 489, your host, and this is the one we've all been waiting for, I guess, minus the last part in the saga. This is going to be the fifth and final part of Mike G's interview and him talking about running into Quentin Tarantino, among some other celebrities. So this is the sort of the wind down, us wrapping it up, and excuse me. I want to thank everybody that was paying attention the whole time, and the Quentin Tarantino interview experience / stories. People seem to like them by the way of downloads. I can view that. I can't see the ones on iTunes. They have this algorithm that they work off of. Speaking of which, before we get to it. Give us some more feedback, comments on iTunes, subscribe. It sort of helps the algorithm out for the whole ratings on iTunes. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast / Fed Entertainment. / analysis 489 on Facebook. Those are all ways you can give me your feedback on the show. Cool. Thanks for listening. I don't remember how this ends, really, even though I was there. It was recorded quite a while ago. And hopefully Mike G will return as a guest on an upcoming show or episode pretty soon. So yeah, thanks for listening. fans.aweeklate@gmail.com and Twitter @aweeklate. All right, I'm going to stop plugging all my crap, even though I really need you guys to help me out, promote. Big things.
This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Okay, so just to verify, you have, in fact, shown me pictures. I've taken pictures.
You've taken pictures.
Of
too much Foster's.
Yeah, too much Foster's and everything else. Which will be posted in some iteration on one of the four or five episodes of this. This is actually like a four or five part
episode. You were fucking ecstatic right now. I mean, everything else is what you took these pictures of. Looking at like. That box and the script.
Yeah, here's what took place. Like, you guys will see this on the blog. There are signed artifacts.
Artifacts. It's just cool shit.
Signed cool shit.
Mm-hmm.
From QT himself. To our guest on this epic episode that's lasting, at this point, 5 or 6 weeks. We're getting to the end of it finally. Let's get into... And the pictures will be posted, the video will be posted. We'll see a lot of behind-the-scenes shit. This is the quintessential... If you love Tarantino, this is the quintessential Tarantino episode. Which means a lot, because I still don't like him. I'm just kidding. At this point, I want to suck his cock. Not really. But we are at the point where you're still doing trivia with this guy on stage, right?
Well, I pretty much went through at least most of the questions.
Right.
I mean, there weren't a lot of questions. And in fact, you know, compared to the ones that they gave me over the phone and before the taping off stage, they weren't as good. And
in other words, easier or harder than the ones that you were asked on TV?
Easier. And... Yeah, I would say easier and not as cool.
So,
you know, the ones they were asking me before the segment were just
generic.
Well, no, they were generic on stage. They were obscure off stage.
Prior, right?
Yeah.
So,
and would have been more impressive, I think.
The artifacts that you just showed me that were, you like that word, right? A la Warehouse 13. These should be held there.
They
should be in a museum. What happened between the time that you were asked the questions and when you received these from him? Let's go backstage. Yeah, let's go backstage for a second. After you were on TV,
yeah.
You got to talk to Quentin Tarantino
for about an hour,
you said.
Yeah. And in fact,
I want to know, at this point, our fans want to know, so far into this interview, because it's going to be split up at this point, we've gone everywhere with it. Talk to me about what you remember, if you can, word for word, from beginning to end. And I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions in between then, so I don't know if... You know, is that okay to say? Like, was it a blur to you, or do you remember?
Backstage, I remember.
Okay, so. I want to know.
Well, actually. Before the dressing room, I was in the green room waiting, and there was a spread, but it was basically a vegetarian spread. It was basically just a salad bar.
Sure. Carrots.
There was caviar. I think there was caviar. But there was some stuff there, like I think maybe some chickpeas and stuff. Stuff that I'm just not like privy to. I have no, you know. And besides, I was not hungry at all.
Yeah, you're fucking bad for shot.
I mean, I remember. I mean, there was basically just.
What I'm saying is though,
I mean, there were olives and
there.
You know.
So, but. Before...
And actually, when I got out there, the producer that actually said to me, wow, I'm impressed. You were really good out there. Because I fucking... Rolled.
Okay, so the segment's over.
Well, when I got the tissues, right, I put on
wait.
I mean,
before we get into you getting
the
tissues,
there
is a point where the bit ends, right? Mm-hmm. So,
that's something I want to say.
We're still at that point.
It was cut out, and it's not.
Right. We're still at that point where we don't know what happened between when you went off stage and into the green room where you saw all that veggie shit. Okay.
There's something that happened before I even got off stage.
That's what we have to get to.
Yeah. This was good, and I really like this. I really like this because because if you watch the segment, they're cutting to commercial. We're like sort of like craning back.
Okay.
So you kind of see Quentin like leaning over to talk to me, and you know, and he was happy for me, you know. Anyway.
Congratulations, obviously.
Yeah. But he did say something to me that they cut our mics off. Okay. So he said to me, he goes like this. He goes, you know, You may be ecstatic right now. You may think everything's great and wonderful. But you know, if this whole trivia contest shit was about Brian De Palma, I would have whooped your ass.
Did he say that to you?
Oh, yeah. But it all in fun, right? Because he's a huge De Palma file.
He is.
Okay. But the thing
he's
is...
a spaz.
But see, so am I.
Not as much as he is.
No. Brian De Palma fan.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So... He goes, you know, you may feel great and wonderful, but if this whole thing was about Brian De Palma, I would have whooped your ass.
So he was talking about taking the direction off of him and talking about somebody else completely.
Another director. Yeah,
But that.
But I go like, no, wait.
Where did that fall in? It wasn't even a thing.
Okay. That's okay, because he was joking around. So I go like, I stop for a second. I think I go, yeah, but it would have been close. And
no, you didn't.
Oh, yeah. So
that's incredible.
He goes, oh, it would have been cool. I fucking love this guy.
He said that.
Yeah.
Do you remember him saying that?
Yeah.
I want to know why you haven't taken more steps to get back in touch with him to just.
A friend of mine was telling me that you know next time, because he does his own festivals at either the Alamo Draft House or he could do it at the New Beverly. A friend of mine had always told me, you know what, next time he does something like that, I should go there and be like, remember me? Let's do a fucking rematch.
You should.
Just for fun, you know? Just
you should.
Hey, you know.
There's this thing where, we're about to get to the after part where you talk to him. I listened to a podcast, I can't remember who it was. Quentin Tarantino went to the UK.
Mm-hmm. They love him in the UK.
Yeah, he's
like the Beatles over there.
Yeah, he goes to this bar where they play nothing but Quentin Tarantino flicks, and they have his picture all over the place.
Well, it's probably Kevin Smith that talked about that.
Probably, you're probably right.
Kevin mentioned it, and they're like, but no, he actually.
He walked into a place. They did a thing.
The place you're talking about, it's almost like a shrine to Quentin, but Quentin's never been there.
He went there once.
Okay.
He
and
went,
then Kevin,
this is
Kevin's
the thing.
Like, I'm here just as a, you know, like,
No, but he went there once, and Quentin, they thought that he was an impersonator. They let him sit down.
I didn't know that.
The server knew that it was the real him.
Yeah.
And told everybody in the restaurant that it wasn't him just so he could have a decent meal.
Nice.
So, I don't know how true that is, but this happened in Ireland, I think.
Okay.
Maybe it was Scotland or the UK.
Okay.
I don't know.
What I'm thinking of happened
in the UK. Maybe. I don't know. But this happened a while ago. So now we're at the point where you are sitting with...
Oh, we're standing talking to each other.
Standing.
But actually, he had two girls waiting in the wings.
Really?
Sitting on the couch, yeah.
His whores?
You could say that,
maybe
I guess, if you want to, you know.
I do want to. I'd like to think that Quentin Tarantino has his own horse. In a perfect world, if Quentin Tarantino doesn't have his own horse, who does he have?
I'm not going to comment
maybe you.
On that.
Are you holding something from me that you still talk to him?
No.
Before you get to bed every night, do you call Quentin Tarantino and ask him?
I can definitely tell you that.
Ask him to give you sweet dreams. Please tell me you have a third Kill Bill volume.
I can definitely tell you that we don't chat.
You don't chat.
No, we're not.
Let me ask you this.
We're not homies.
Between the time that you... Okay, so you don't necessarily remember when you and Jimmy and Quentin went off air. However, what was it like when the skit, the bit, whatever you want to call it, when that was over, were you separated and brought back together backstage?
Yes, well, I was in the green room. I had a little party moment where they had the spread, you know, the
rap party.
A little rap party, yeah.
A mini rap party because we're talking late
and
night.
And then that's when Quentin's like, you know, or at least the producer came out, well, you know, Quentin's ready if you want to talk to him in his dressing room, you know, it's, you know, really. So maybe he already had his
horse. Maybe he already had it.
Would liaison be the wrong word? He'd had his tryst.
This is a better word, the concubine. So he came. Did you go back to the green room?
No. And as a matter of fact, when I left,
ABC had a completely different room for you guys to sit down and talk.
If it wasn't a contest,
what made them make him sit down with you and talk to you if it wasn't a contest?
He wanted to talk to me.
He requested.
Yeah.
For him to talk to the guy that
he
just
asked
got
me.
Him.
Actually,
on stage.
That's another thing. During the when we got off, before he even said that thing about Brian De Palma.
Yeah.
He asked me if I could stick around.
Really?
Yeah.
Him personally.
Yeah, him personally.
But.
Because he had that shit to give me.
I've been in situations, and here's where. This is probably the episode where I talk about myself the least. Most fans of our podcast will tell you that I'm kind of selfish and I talk about myself a lot.
Mm-hmm. Super show. Sure.
Or interrupt. Yeah, but fuck that. Everybody can kiss my balls. I don't care about anyone.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that in this particular situation,
mm-hmm.
there was probably a commercial break and he leaned over to you and he said, "Stick around, I want to talk to you." What happens to me at shows when I want to talk to a headliner that I don't mm-hmm. necessarily have the access to,
right.
I make it a point to where I do have access to him. It's my fucking show, like you said. I get to talk to whoever the fuck I want to.
Yeah.
But
it's usually because it's your show and you want to
right.
talk to them. It's never
so,
because the celebrity
because
wants to of their
is,
own free will.
This is what
you.
I'm getting to.
Yeah. Like I said, he's really down earth.
How did it... I want to know how he got to tell Kimmel's people that he wanted to talk to you. He came to you.
Well, I don't know much about that. I only know is that the producers did come to split us up. It's like, okay, you've had your time. Okay, you're going to have to leave now.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
After the conversation on TV...
Yeah.
The producers came to you and...
No, they came to me... Like They
split
they,
you and Tarantino up. They
after,
split you guys up.
For about an hour, then the producers came in and said...
okay, now you have to go.
Okay, yeah,
okay.
We're going to have to wrap this up right now. And then Quentin said, sorry, man, you know, I would stick and stick
okay,
here and talk
so,
to you.
Okay, so, that's my point. Before
yeah.
that happened, when you got off the stage
yeah.
through all the questioning right. and the trivia...
Yeah.
What happened after that? What did they escort him off to a different room?
No, he was in the dressing room.
He went with
time.
You off.
No. He goes in the dressing room. I went to the green room. I did with the whatever the fuck was going on in the
room. You guys were separated after the bit.
Yeah.
You guys were separated.
For about 15, 20 minutes, whatever.
He came to you.
Producers
came to you.
Said, okay, he's ready for you. Let's go.
Wow. So they just... They took you into him as part of your payment, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because you were on and you got...
Because he had, you know, the... let's see. Actually, I had my script, a published script of his first screenplay, True Romance.
Mm.
And he was going to sign that. And they specifically told me, too, I think. Yeah. Do you have anything you want him to sign?
Wow.
Okay.
They were pretty nice. They were
yeah.
good about it.
Yeah. So
after they treated you like shit and wanted to make fun of you, they saw that you were a good deal. And
well, yeah, exactly.
Did the
because
deed.
I started going.
You played the game.
I played the game, and actually, you'll see in the segment that you know when they gave me the tissues, I
sure.
like did like mock crying or whatever the shit.
Oh, that's funny.
So I played
good
into
for
it.
You. Good
yeah,
for you.
I played into it.
And they laughed. You got a laugh out of it, or?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I look at it now. I'm like.
Oh, why did I do that?
How fucking pathetic.
it's like meeting Mo from The Simpsons. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So we're at this point, towards the end, ironically, for everything. Not even ironically. But the conversation, so he's ready for you.
Yeah. He's ready for me.
You walk over to him. And you sit down in a room, or
no, we were just standing in the.
Is it like? Bullshit. Is it like where you walk in like the Matrix style, and there's monitors all over the place?
No, this was just a regular dressing room.
At times of your life where he knew, you know, what your sixth birthday looked like, and like there were monitors all over the place and looking into your soul.
No monitors.
So you
just
walked into a room.
Yeah.
With Quentin Tarantino.
Off to
where he was by himself.
No. Off to the left, there were these two girls sitting on the couch waiting for him to finish. Or maybe...
Finish what?
Talking to me. They were hanging out.
Women from ABC, or...
I assumed they were his friends.
His entourage.
I wouldn't call them entourage.
I would. Those were his whores. Those were his bitches.
I would call them groupies.
Groupies. Okay. So there were these groupies.
Or Band-Aids if you're an Almost Famous fan.
Oh. Nice reference. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And this is why I appreciate that, because one of my main DJs, Mr. Aaron Bond, used to play for Truly Sunday. You know who Truly Sunday is, if you know who Almost Famous is.
No, I'm talking about the movie Almost Famous.
Oh, my bad. Interesting. We got to talk
Kate
about
Hudson.
That later. Yeah, yeah. Jimmy Fallon's in that movie. Crazy we're talking about it. I apologize. I thought you were talking about someone else. So, back to where these girls are waiting for Mr. Tarantino to finish
talking.
Your conversation. They're these random females.
Yeah.
Were they hot?
Yeah.
Were they Uma Thurman looking bitches or what?
No.
No?
No.
Ben Affleck looking bitches?
Young, not that young, but they were.
Alright.
Young, you know.
I think that's his inspiration for his next movie, maybe. I don't know.
At
so
that
what,
time, he had
so,
done.
So these girls sat there the whole time while you guys had an hour long conversation?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They were just sitting there waiting for him.
They were just sitting there.
Smoking cigarettes, weed, snorting coke.
Can't remember. I mean,
they had to eat each other out. Nothing.
No.
They were just sitting there waiting for him to finish,
yeah.
and he did the whole time.
Yeah.
Okay, so during this time, there's two whores sitting on the couch, waiting for him. I'm gonna call them that because it's funny.
Okay.
What did you talk about?
Okay. Well, first thing that I said when I walked in, because you know, 45 minutes of sleep.
You're delirious at this point. Everything's surreal. We get it.
I got the fucking...
The whores on the couch. You can say it. Go ahead. You can say it. Say whores on the couch.
The whores on the couch?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, the
he's
whores on the couch.
He's
not going to listen to this. And I got my you know, the box of tissues.
Yeah.
Which
you'll see.
I walk in, and, you know, now, you know, I'm coming in to bullshit with my friend Quentin, right?
No, he's your friend now.
Well, I only say that when I walked in, I go, you know, was that the fucking shit or was that the fucking shit?
You
and
say it then?
I did. And Quentin's like, that was the fucking shit.
Wow.
Yeah, I said that.
And he said that.
And he said back. Yeah. So I was like, you know, so how's it going? What are you doing? Not much, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, whatever. He's like, okay, well, what video store do you work at? I'm like, movie gallery. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know, okay. Movie gallery. He's like, how long you been there? I'm like, you know, a while. And, you know, we talked about that. And then I said, you know, and I knew this was a stupid question before I asked it, but, of course, my fanboy part of my brain kicked in, and I'm like, okay, so how the fuck is Hostel? Because Hostel hadn't come out yet. And he's like,
wow.
Oh, dude, it is phenomenal. If you're a horror fan, you're going to love it.
That was his first run-in with
Eli
Roth.
Mm-hmm. And actually,
that's why he was nuts about it, because
he
knew that there was going to be a franchise that left off of that.
He didn't know there would be a franchise, because, you know, it hadn't come out yet. I mean,
I know. In his broad mind, though. In his broad mind, he had to know.
But
they had a contract for that. Three movies well before it happened. I know that.
There's no way.
You don't think so?
The way
people make contracts, dude, these days.
I know.
Three movies apiece.
But back then?
Yeah, you're right.
It
wasn't. You're probably right.
Because after Hostel Part 2, it actually, think it actually made less than Hostel 1.
You're probably right about
that. And which is why Hostel 3 actually ended up being made and I think really just released straight to video.
I think you're right about that too. That conversation.
But yeah. So after the Hostel, they said it was phenomenal, blah blah blah.
Wow.
And then,
he gave you insight to a movie that wasn't even fucking out yet.
Yeah, but of course he's gonna say that. He's the producer of the movie.
Yeah, I know, that's my point, but I don't wanna keep shitting on the guy. Like,
yeah.
I've been doing that enough already.
So when he said, I'm like, yeah, take it with a grain of salt, you know, he's the producer of the movie, of course he's gonna say it's good. Then that's when he gave me...
He asked him to make his money back.
That's when he gave me, the other stuff. He signed my script. Which of course I shrink wrapped along with the other,
which you guys
my prize.
Sure.
Yeah. And then he gave me a Kill Bill lunchbox. That's kind
of
cool.
Which we also have pictures of.
Yeah. And with a crazy 88 thermos. That was kind of
great.
Kind of cool. And a Gogo Yubari, action figure. which is still sealed.
My brother's gonna hate you for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Appreciate
so,
that.
Yeah. So you gave me all that, and then we just started bullshitting about movies.
I want to know the movies that you bullshitted about. What?
Okay.
What did you guys talk about?
We started talking about Hitchcock.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm a huge Hitchcock fan, so I mean, I had heard something along the.
If you had to go back and pick a different director, would you have done that, or are you satisfied with talking about Hitchcock?
I know we talked about a couple of things.
I'm saying, all right.
I mean, it's hard to ask him questions that, I mean, I'm going to sound completely, you know, highfalutin or
it's too late for that. It's too late.
Yeah, but you know, having read bios and interviews of him, or whatever, it was hard to find questions to ask him that I didn't already know the answer to.
Did you do it more just to hear him say it, or...?
Well, I only had a few things I didn't, you know, that I wanted to get his perspective on. So we start talking about Hitchcock, and he's not a fan of Hitchcock.
Interesting.
In fact, he liked Gus Van Sant's remake of Psycho.
I was just going to say Gus Van Sant, because he's the same guy that did Good Will Hunting for me, which is the movie that saved my life. If I had to say something about him, probably the same thing. Like, there was a movie...
Well, now check this out, though, because we got into, like, this big,
that was just as relevant
big conversation over this movie, him and he and I. Because he
this was after the first two that you talked about.
What?
The movies that...
Well, after I talked about Hostel, after he gave me the stuff...
Right.
And then we just started bullshit. And I started asking him about, you know, because I think I had heard that he was a fan of Gus Van Sant.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought up Hitchcock. And we started talking about Hitchcock, and he said he wasn't a fan of Hitchcock. And in fact, he likes Gus Van Sant's remake of Psycho more than Hitchcock's
original,
yeah. Because he believed that Van Sant's version was more real. And I disagreed with him.
Weird, because...
I disagreed with him to his face.
That's crazy.
Because, I mean, at this point, yeah, because at this point, you know, it's, you know, like I was saying, you know, I wanted, you know, these people don't want to be, you know, as much as you think these people just want to constantly have their ass kissed, they don't.
Yeah, they don't.
You know?
I know that for a fact. Like I was saying earlier, there's 99% of Hollywood they don't watch their movies.
They don't want to have their ass kissed all the time. But at the same time, they don't want to be treated like a big shot. So you don't want to be sarcastic either. Okay?
It's almost a compliment to look at them and acknowledge them and not talk to them. Right.
Yeah. And especially with him, I mean, he keeps everything, you know, very down to earth, you know, and he seems completely humble.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you're having a bad day...
Do I look at...
Do you say,
no,
fuck everything, I talk to Quentin Tarantino?
No.
It doesn't make your life...
I just have a bad day.
It doesn't make your life any better, does it?
Usually when I'm having a bad day, that's the least thing that's the farthest thing from my mind.
Do you look at that picture with Gene Roddenberry and say, I'm having a bad day, but I fucking met Gene Roddenberry?
No, I just have a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a lesson to be learned, my friends, because I've had a very bad week. It's not a very bad month. Knowing this happened to you and sharing your story makes it better.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really change things in my life? No, not really. But I'm glad that I'm able to sit here and listen to you tell this fucking amazing, incredible story about how somebody that we put on a pedestal for making these incredible movies that I don't like, there's this contrast that exists where I don't care. Like, he's still a normal human being, and he's made a great success just out of the fucked up shit that he thinks out of his head.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you this too. I'll continue. I'll tell you what else we talk about, but I'll tell you about this, Jim. His attitude about making movies. Okay. Which again, I think really grounds him, at least in my book.
Is this still something that you guys were talking about towards the end of the night?
I think he talked about this too, but this is something I already knew.
Right. Because we're still sort of winding down at this point.
Towards the end of your conversation with him. Okay, when he made Pulp Fiction, he made it very cheap compared to, you know, industry norms.
Let's say inexpensive. It was an inexpensive film. Like, cheap is
But it was so inexpensive,
kind of
okay, that it made its money back and then some.
Because it's him.
It was a phenomenon. But no, nobody knew him.
Oh, okay.
He was not a brand name until Pulp Fiction, okay?
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true, though.
He gained cult status from Reservoir Dogs.
Right.
Okay. He gained cult status from True Romance.
Reservoir Dogs was the last thing he did before the next big thing he did made him big.
Made him huge.
Right.
But made him so huge that he actually, between Reservoir Dogs, or not Reservoir Dogs, between Pulp Fiction and Jackie Brown, okay, because he still made From Dusk Till Dawn around like 95 or so, but there was a point.
Yeah, that's true.
Because things came out pretty quick.
Four
Rooms came out like that. From Dusk Till Dawn.
Four Rooms was sort of.
But as far as like directing, after From Dusk Till Dawn, he fell off the map, and people were wondering. I mean, people were starting to tell jokes like. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Where in the world is Quentin Tarantino?
That's funny.
There were these rumors that he was tapped out.
Where in the world is Quentin Tarantino? Yeah, I remember that.
There were rumors that he was tapped out, that he had writer's block.
Written too much, right.
Not even written too much, just that he had writer's block.
Well, dude, it was one after the other, though. It was one Quentin Tarantino.
The rumor was, once you've had that much success, and you've had...
He's like the white Dave Chappelle.
Basically.
Yeah. He had to
and
go
it was
to
like,
Africa
it was like
for a
once
while.
You've made a movie like Pulp Fiction, how the fuck do you
top
that?
Are you
going to
top that, yeah.
Right?
So he had his fallout.
So then it was like, you know, is everyone going to expect Pulp Fiction 2?
Every time.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
He still hasn't made.
No, and he's not.
And he's not going
to. But...
Thank you, Quentin.
Then he made Jackie Brown... And actually, to this day, there are critics that believe Jackie Brown is his best work.
I don't see that at
but,
all.
That's
coming from somebody that hates
him. Now, here's the thing. Here's what he told me. And I think he'd already said this previously, and then I heard that, but he reiterated it.
Sure.
He said he made enough money making Pulp Fiction, okay, that he never had to work again.
I believe that.
Okay. And in
I believe
the time,
that before he
between
made that
Pulp
movie.
Fiction, you know, well, between, you know, Pulp Fiction, Four Rooms, From Dusk Till Dawn, he was in a movie, he was in Destiny Turns on the Radio, whatever, that he basically used a lot of his money to build his own theater. Now, I'm not talking about the New Beverly. Okay, he bought that way later. He built a theater next to his house. Or maybe, like, trails into his house. I don't know.
Will Smith just recently did the same.
He built a movie theater.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he used to say, you know, like, you have a big hit, you usually make another movie. I built a theater. Which, you know, where he, because he has a print collection and he shows his, you know, his prints there. And he even, like programs double bills with trailers. He actually puts trailers in with the double bills.
Yeah. I've seen
that. But he basically, he made so much money from Pulp Fiction that basically he didn't have to work again. And that he only makes any movies he's made prior to and including Pulp Fiction and post-Pulp Fiction. Anything he's making because he wants to make it. And it's not because he's making it like some other directors out
including
there.
Including Glorious Bastards.
Including Glorious Bastards. And Glorious Bastards was a passion project.
I have yet to watch that movie, and I want to watch that movie so bad.
It's the only
Quentin Tarantino movie that I actively want to watch.
The way he puts it, he's not making a movie so that he could pay for his pool.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Which, you know, there are workaday directors who are like, you know, they have bills to pay, so they got to make another movie.
I think you put another finger on it, is that the reason why I respect him is because through all my hatred, he still comes back and makes poignant movies. Like, they all make sense.
It's because, the way he puts it is that, you know, he's not going to make a movie unless he has a story to tell.
I think I'm going to wrap it up now, because this has been going on for...
a couple hours, right?
I'm delighted. This is the best. However...
We're going to
take it now.
Done.
Yeah, we're going to take it now from the very end of your conversation.
Yeah, okay.
With
so
Tarantino in his green room. Not yours, in his dressing room.
But we start talking about Hitchcock, and he says that he feels that the remake of Psycho is better than the original Psycho.
Right.
And I disagreed with him, and he told me that he felt that the new Psycho felt more real. And I told him it felt like Twin Peaks world.
Is he a little bit Woody Allen-esque? Like,
I don't even think he's punchable.
He's a little bit Woody Allen, is he not? He's like, is he a little bit
He's a little more outrageous than that.
He's kind of timid though, in a little bit, isn't he?
No. Well, he's sort of
stuttering all the time, kind of like this.
Well, not as nebbish.
You don't think he's a little bit like that at any point in time?
He talks quick.
Yeah, he's really fast.
I mean, he's, you know, sort of like Scorsese. Like, he talks at a fast clip.
Did you watch Hugo?
Yes. I loved Hugo.
You have to listen to that episode, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I like it.
Nice.
I think you'll like it even more because I disparage my co-host like a motherfucker. He deserves to be embarrassed in that episode. But
the 3D was fantastic.
I loved...
But I have a funny story.
The 3D was great. 3D, all right. Though. So, anyway.
So we talked about that. And then he, I told him the way I felt about it is that it felt like, that it was like Twin Peaks. It felt like it didn't feel real to me at all. And I
never got to watch... I knew of Twin Peaks during my generation. Never got to watch it. Didn't watch it on purpose.
But it just seems so otherworldly because it's supposed to be taking place. It's almost like I don't even want to call it timeless. The remake of Psycho, it's like it takes place in some nether region where the 60s are still alive in the 90s.
Isn't that... isn't that Guy Pearce?
Oh, that plays Norman?
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn.
Oh, shit. That's right. Fuck.
Anne Heche is playing Janet Leigh's part.
I heard it was amazing.
I mean, I liked it for the experimental idea of it.
I can't
but
believe
as
that
a
was
movie
Vince
movie,
Vaughn. You're right.
As a movie Not. Movie? No. I mean, even after I saw the film at Hollywood 18, I'm thinking, you know, this would serve a better purpose in an art house theater than for mainstream consumption.
But getting back to...
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Then I brought up something that I had heard that he was a fan of Terminator 3. And
again with Terminator.
Yeah. And I cannot fucking stand Terminator 3.
Was that the one...
One way or another.
With the motorcycles?
Rise of the Machines. It was the one with Claire Danes. She was the vet, and she basically was the Terminatrix with Kristanna Loken.
Where it turned backwards and like, okay.
But it's the one where basically we go from the T-1000 and Terminator 2.
They turn on the big magic and she gets stuck to the side.
What does she do to like manipulate like cars and stuff? She has a fucking antenna come out of her fucking finger. It's like, okay. That's the next stage of fucking
right.
Terminator.
Yeah, I get it.
But he had mentioned in an interview that he thought it was the best action movie of the year, and because he was talking about the big action sequence with I haven't seen that movie in a while. But it was the cement mixer.
Ah.
Well, I told him my theory about that whole movie is that the only reason why Arnold made it was because he needed to fund his campaign. And in fact, James Cameron
That's funny.
Told him, because Jonathan Mostow directed it. The guy did U-571, Breakdown.
Nice.
Schwarzenegger said he wasn't going to make the movie unless he had James Cameron's blessing. And Cameron's like,
really?
Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah. And actually, Cameron said the same thing. He's like, I understand you're trying to fund a campaign. If you need to make this movie, you go ahead and you make that movie. And he put some of his own money into the movie.
But that's when he said he wasn't going to be in any more movies.
No, this is before he became governor.
Oh,
so okay. The only reason why he didn't make any movies was because he was already elected.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. But
now he's back in Expendables 2.
Yeah, because he's not governor
anymore. He's not governor.
But
he said during his governorship that he would never do movies ever again.
Okay.
I guess as governor.
Arnold's got to eat. And actually, he's got another mouth to feed.
Arnold's got to eat. How many secret children does he have at this point? You know what I'm saying?
He's got an extra mouth to feed.
There you go. We got that one out.
Yeah. But
the end of your conversation with Tarantino.
So we're talking about that, and I tell him my theory about the movie.
Yeah.
And I told him all that, and then I told him, I hated the movie, and that because if you watch the movie, the theme song, the whole Terminator theme, the music,
mm-hmm.
Isn't in the movie until the end titles.
Mm-mm,
so, mm-mm, yeah, mm-mm, it's not there.
Right.
So I mentioned to Tarantino that, it seemed to me like, the whole movie was a rush job. But what I hated about that?
There was a scene where...
And a reason to create a new franchise.
This is where...
Or continue the franchise.
This is one of the first movies where blatant branding and plugging was involved, where there was this whole scene where the truck, slid to the side, and you saw just a big Pepsi ad for, 30 seconds coming towards the camera.
Wow, that's blockbuster filming.
It was like, what the fuck is commercialism doing in a Terminator film? And it was where everybody just sold out, and people called it out.
Hey, you.
With the cat ranch again, apparently in Mark Maron's garage. Boo me.
So then I mentioned to him, it seemed like they couldn't get the rights to the song, or to the theme song, until post-production. And then it's like... The
end. Oh, hey, here's
the
thing.
And
yeah.
The music for the actual film.
Here's the thing that makes
it already a lock
at the end, right?
Okay, it's already a lock for picture, right? For the regular score.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, now we finally got the rights to this music. What are we gonna do with it?
Let's put it at the end.
Put it at the end time. And he's like, you might be right. And of course, I wasn't
sure. A great mind like Quentin Tarantino cannot deny the truth.
Well, see, that's the thing is that ever since then, I still kept thinking either he's agreeing with me or he's blowing smoke up my ass.
Yeah.
Do
you think now? That being said, and we'll finish with this. That's the thing, do you think that he thinks about you when he hears that? Whether or not, hey, he was right. I think this, I don't know.
I doubt it. I mean, believe me, I mean, it's, what are you saying? Like,
do you think he ever thinks about in the conversation when he sees that movie, like, oh, he was right about this. They only put it at the end.
You know what?
Do you think
I'm not going to say no, and the only reason why, and I'm not saying it because, oh, I feel self-important or some shit.
You'd like to think that
say that because he, you know, when he talks about certain movies and shit, like in commentaries or stuff like that, he will say, you know, like, you know, he'll bring people up, and he'll be like, you know, I was watching this, and so-and-so said this about this.
That's what I'm saying, because he's very attentive to detail.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to make fun of you, but do you think...
But personally, I doubt it.
Do you think that he thinks about you and says, I wonder whatever happened to that one guy? That he...
Who knows?
That he, like, actually... You know, I really miss that guy. I wish he was my friend. What if he was saying that?
I don't know. I don't think about that.
Let me tell you something, Mike. This interview was amazing, and it was incredible, and it happened over the course of what I'd like to think is a day and a half, which is only, you know, because I spend my nights overnight. I don't even know how to finish this. Is there anything left to say at this point before we sign off? Let's say there's a movie you want to plug for him. What would be his next project, do you think?
Oh, you don't know what else he's doing anymore?
I don't know.
Because
the last thing he's done is Inglourious Basterds, right?
Yeah, and now he has another movie that he, I think, just finished shooting. And actually comes out in December.
Okay.
So
you obviously...
What am I, a marketing person?
Yeah, you obviously came in contact with him because you know what his next movie is. I just want to say thanks for coming on the podcast, and this will clearly be put up in multiple episodes. Mm. Is there... I mean, you said you had a Facebook page where people can maybe get a hold of you. If you don't want to give that out, you don't have to. I'm just trying to give our fans a way to maybe ask questions for future episodes, or in the 5 hours that we've talked about this, I can't imagine something we didn't touch on.
Right.
You were very thorough, but, you know, maybe your Facebook page or an email address you can give out.
I don't know about that. I figure if anything, if people have questions, they usually go...
Okay. Yeah, hit us up. We are, Jesus, where do I start? Okay. Email us questions. If you want to hear anything that we didn't cover, I don't know what that possibly could be, because we covered fucking everything. Fans.weeklate@gmail.com. Hit us up at facebook.com/weeklatepodcast. You can hit us up on Twitter @aweeklate. You can hit me up @analysis49, @fenpromos. At the beginning and end of every one of these segments, you'll probably get sick of listening to the Fen Entertainment plug. Go to fenentertainment.com. Don't bite me. What are you doing? I've been feeding you the whole time. I think that's it. So, until next time, check us out. This is a super long extra bonus episode in multiple parts. I think that's it. I don't even know what to say anymore.
No?
Wait, what's our catchphrase now? We have one that says, we will see you... a week ago. That's it. This episode of Weekly is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com.
offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.